7 steps to flipping MLS deal, okay? MLS deals. This is amazing source of traffic and deals. Stay tuned. Hey my friend, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios on the road. I'm still here in a place called Poland, Ohio. But the information I'm going to share with you is very important today. So I'm not really, it's a question, but it's a more, you know, it's a more step-by-step information that you should pay solid attention to. But I want to share this with you because it's an opportunity, you know, that's available out there that you can take advantage of. But there's some disadvantages to it, there's advantages, there's pros and there's cons to it. And I want to talk about MLS deals, okay? Deals from the MLS. What's MLS? Multiple listing systems, okay? So a real estate agent, a licensed real estate agent, one of the unique things that they have access to is something called the multiple listing system. And that's the central standard hub where all real estate agents list properties for sales, and they can essentially go in there and sell any property for sale. Okay, so it's a central hub, and is the most valid and standard way to look at what properties are actually selling for. Now, these days there are many opportunities to tap into the MLS without necessarily becoming licensed, but it's still an invaluable resource. But today I want to talk to you about the 7 steps to flipping MLS deals, okay? The MLS deals mean properties that are listed by a real estate agent. Essentially, this house is one thing is that you know that the houses on the market or on the MLS are essentially houses owned by people who have signified that they want to sell, okay? And that's a step further in the process of finding how motivated a person, the seller is, right? They've actually said they want to sell. Now, how motivated they are is a different question. Is it a good deal is a different question. Are they willing to go down to the price, a wholesale price, where you can actually flip this deal and make money? That's a different question. But I want to give you 5 different steps of things that you should pay attention to. But before I get into the 5 different steps, I want you to note these 3 prerequisites before you approach a deal on the MLS, before you approach a realtor and try to call them for a deal on the MLS as a wholesaler. I want you to know that a good relationship, okay, first step, first thing, 3 prerequisites, right? A good relationship goes a long way with your listing realtor. And the way I wrote this here is a good relationship with the listing realtor to pull this off, even if it's 100% legal, okay? So even if it's 100% legal, doesn't mean you can pull it off. You know, the fact that you're a wholesaler, or somebody who is a creative real estate investor, there's a lot of realtors that will still frown at that, and they're not interested in working with creative real estate investor. They only want to work with conventional real estate deals, conventional real estate professionals. And that's just what it is. And you just want to make sure that you have a good relationship with the realtor so you can avoid all of the drama that comes with somebody who wants to be Mr. Holy or Mrs. Holy or holier than thou. They want to do everything perfect. They don't mess with real estate investors. You need a real estate investing friendly realtor, and you want to have a relationship with them already before you can really pull this off in most cases, okay? The second prerequisite is $1,000 deposit. When you're dealing with a house on that's listed on the public market, like MLS, typically you want to have a deposit. Now, there are multiple ways you can get around this. You can have the deposit with your lawyer. You can have it with an attorney. You can have your $1,000 deposit with an attorney in a trust escrow account. And you can use that same money when you use it as deposit for every deal you put an offer in on, essentially, okay? But just understand from the technical standpoint, you need $1,000 deposit, typically earnest deposit, before somebody can really take your offer to a house that's listed on the market serious, okay? Number 3 is a proof of funds equal to or greater than the purchase price. So they need to make sure that you have this money that you in fact can afford to pay for this property, okay? So that could be a proof of funds, as in you have the cash in the bank. It could be a proof of funds from your network of investors. There's a lot of people do that out there right now. Or it could be a pre-qualification letter from your mortgage company, a pre-approval of sorts, okay? So those are the three things that you should know that you should have in place. You need a good relationship, $1,000, and a proof of funds. You need to show that you actually have money that you can actually afford to close this type of deals, okay? So now with the three prerequisites out of the way, let's talk about the seven steps to flipping MLS listed properties, okay? That means a publicly MLS listed properties by a licensed real estate agent. Step one, you want to do a preliminary digital screening of the property with comps, okay? I can't tell you how important this is. You need to make sure that this number passes for your kind of numbers, okay? This property passes your numbers, okay? So your maximum allowable offer should be 65% of after repair value minus the repair cost estimate of a property, okay? So the first step there is to know what the after repair value of a property is, and the way you know that is by pulling up some comps. And you can do all of this stuff from your computer without calling the agent yet, without doing, you can do a little bit of a homework in addition to the fact that hopefully you know a little bit about the neighborhood, right? Hopefully, maybe a little bit. But how you get to know neighborhoods is by looking at comps, okay? But bottom line is that you want to do a digital screening, okay, of the property with comparables, with comps, comparable sales. I don't care about comparable listings. We need to see solds in the last 3 to 6 months within a mileage of 1 mile radius, okay, from the subject property. You need to do that. And you should do all that before you make a call out to a realtor, okay? So that's step one. Step two, okay, call the agent and book an appointment to see. After the house has passed your digital screening and you say, hey, this house looks good. I've done the comparables. Compared to the asking price that's listed on the market, it looks like there's some room where you can make something happen as far as from a wholesaler standpoint. 0.65, 65% of the after repair value, right? So step two is to call the agent and you book an appointment to see the property, okay? So every step through this process is a pre-qualification process, okay, to help you save yourself some time so you don't waste your time on the wrong house, on the wrong deal, okay? Step three, after you book, if somebody can't book an appointment with you, right? Let's go back to step two for a second here. They can't book an appointment with you, then it's a chance that you should move on and go keep looking for other properties, okay? Any of these things is just an additional way for you to save time so you can put forward more time to a house that's actually worth it, to a house that's actually worth your energy, okay? But let's say you pass that step two, right? You finally find an agent. You pass step one, step two, an agent that's willing to show you a property, right? Then the next step is to go and see the property at the scheduled time. Show up on time because, again, relationships is everything in this business and you don't want to start off by showing up late to an appointment, okay? Show up on time. Don't show up at 5 minutes before. Don't show up 15 minutes after. Show up on time. On time means 10 minutes, you're ready there, you're sitting in your car, you're ready for this person to show up. It should not be your fault if the appointment did not happen. It should never be your fault. You should maintain a good reputation in this game, okay? So if the agent shows up and you show up on time, then you've passed the test. The whole scenario is passing step number three. The next step is step number four. You want to create a preliminary repair estimate. So there are a lot of resources online where you can find out how to create preliminary repair estimates. How I create mine is I look for the price of a brand new kitchen, a brand new bathroom, okay? Then the cost per square footage of painting and carpeting, okay? These are the kind of work that you should be concerned about, okay? Everything else is extra, but if you can make an estimate off of how much does a brand new kitchen in that neighborhood cost, how much does a brand new bathroom in that neighborhood cost, right? Based on the number of bathrooms in that house, right? And then the square footage, and then painting and carpeting, right? If you can do a really good estimate based on those four things, you can come up with a good sizable estimate, okay? And it doesn't have to be perfect. You just need to be able to come up with something for your numbers to work with, okay? So when you're at the property, you're doing that estimate because you're going to use that estimate in your offer, okay? Because remember, the offer is 65% of after repair value minus the repair cost estimate, okay? So already on the phone, when you're talking to the agent, they kind of like, hopefully you've taken the idea, how much work does the house need? And hopefully they've given you some kind of number. But when you're there, do some estimate and then come up with a number. The number, don't worry, is subjective, okay? It's subjective, is your opinion. The opinion will get better with time. It gets better as you continue to see more properties, okay? But you need to start from somewhere. And if you start with what I just shown you, you're like way light years ahead of most people, okay? So what did I say? Square footage, carpeting, and painting. How much does a kitchen cost? How many bathrooms? How much does one bathroom? Times the number of bathroom cost. And you can come up with a solid estimate. A gutted work should not be less than $70,000 in an inner city house. Okay, it depends on what kind of neighborhoods, right? But these are some of the things you want to pay attention to. You can watch this video up to 3, 4, 5 times to grasp the full concept of what I'm saying. Okay, it's okay. If I were you, I would watch it a 4th, 5th time, okay? So if the house, you know, obviously you're now deep in this already. By the time you're doing all this, you should have known already that this is potentially a good situation. If not, you should be able to detect in step 2 and 3 if this house is not worth your time. So right now, let's go on to step 5. Step 5 is that you say, thank you, I like what I've seen so far. Let me do some homework. I'm going to get back to you. You're talking to the agent or the person that showed you the house, right? That's step 5. So you create your offer. Remember, your offer is 65% of the after repair value. The first, remember that after repair value that you created from step 1? That's 65% of that minus, okay, now you subtract the repair estimate that you've just created from visiting the property. A lot of time people will tell you, oh, you need to do an estimate, find a contractor. No, you don't have to spend money or waste contractors' time having them do estimate for you. It's not cool, especially if you don't have any intention of using them. If you're a wholesaler, you're not going to use them. So don't do that, okay? Create an estimate and then use that in creating an offer, okay? So 65% of ARV, after repair value, minus the repair estimate, okay? And that's your maximum allowable offer, okay? That's it. That's your maximum allowable offer. Now you need some negotiation skills in this situation, okay? And the first step is, don't just throw up your maximum allowable offer up front, okay? Make sure that's, take about $20,000 off of that, okay? Depending on what kind of market you're in, okay? But essentially, you want to take away about 0.5%, okay, of that. That's what you want to, 5%. 5% of the 5%. Yeah, 5% is what you want to take off of that. So for every $400,000 worth of value, you want to remove $20,000. So for $100,000 worth of value, you remove $5,000 from your maximum allowable offer, and you make that your initial offer so that there's room for negotiations if they decide that that number is close to what they can work with. Okay, but of course you're justifying all of this because this house needs work. So again, if you're offering on houses that doesn't need work, this is not going to work out very well for you. You still want to focus on distressed homeowners. You want to focus on distressed properties. That means houses that need work, houses that has become a challenge for the homeowner, houses that has tenants that won't leave us, things like that. That's what you're looking for, a distressed situation, so you can actually show up to the table with solution as a problem solver, okay? So step 6, if you create an offer in step 5, you successfully create an offer. Now you want to email your offer, okay? You want to email your offer. It's a contract, plus a proof of $1,000 deposit with your own attorney already in the trust and escrow account, right? And a proof of funds, okay? Some kind of pre-approval letter, maybe if you're using a mortgage. You need those three things in your offer, and you need to email that. Email is perfectly fine. If you have an agent that can't deal with email, they need a fax, it's probably a waste of your time. Don't worry about them. But send an email to them with your offer, okay? That's step six. And step seven is the easiest part, okay? That's the easiest part of it all. It's wait for a response, okay? After 2 to 3 days, you don't get a response. You make a follow-up call, say, hey, I sent in an offer. What do you think, okay? And you put an offer and you just wait for a response. If a good response comes back, you negotiate back and forth. Remember, you had that 5% room, right? You have that 5% room for negotiation. You can come up 5%. If you're in a $400,000 home, you can come up $20,000. $100,000 home, you can come up $5,000. And you still have room to be able to pick up a property that you can successfully wholesale, okay? So again, you're putting an offer in on this property. You can afford it. Again, when you're approaching an MLS deal, you can't say no money down. No, that doesn't work with MLS deals, especially if you don't have relationship with the realtor. It's just not going to work, okay? Or they're going to take you as not serious, okay? Now, sometimes your offer may look not serious as a wholesaler. That's okay, okay? You know your numbers, and the fact that you know your numbers is attractive enough. And if it's not a fit, if a house is not a fit for you, they will help you. They will say, hey, I know what you're looking for. I will let you know when I have houses like that on the market. So they will help you if the house is just not a fit. But a good realtor will say, let me take your number. If I find something that fits your criteria, I'll let you know. So I have a thing that I wrote here. So if offer is accepted, mark it to your private list. Once your offer is accepted, remember there's time that you need for inspections and things like that, do your due diligence, title work. You have this time in between. If you created a very good offer that was accepted, then you should be able to find an end buyer that will buy the deal very fast, okay? So what you want to do is you want to market that to your private list of cash buyers. Again, you need to be able to build a cash buyers list. And you can use online marketing to build a healthy cash buyers list. That's something I cover extensively in my book, Empire Lifestyle Secrets. You can download the book at myempirepro.com or use the link in the description. Okay, so make sure you have. So you want to essentially market this list to your. You want to market the deal at 75% of after repair value minus the repair estimate. You want to market that to your list, your private subscriber list of cash buyers. Okay. And if the deal is attractive enough, they will pick it up. If the deal is such a bad deal, then you can kill the deal using inspection. There's going to be enough stuff in the inspections that can kill the deal, okay? Or even appraiser that can kill the deal. So you can essentially back out, you know, for multiple areas of reason and legally and legitimately reasons. That's there. That the only thing this house will be good for is if you were wholesaling and flipping it so that someone can fix and flip. So there will be more than enough reasons where you can back out, okay? So you don't have to feel obligated that, oh, you don't have to buy this house. No. The only reason why you're purchasing this house is because you will secure a cash buyer in your private list of subscribers of cash buyers that will actually want. So you have intentions to purchase because that's how you make money. So that doesn't defile the fact that you have intention to purchase this property. However, sometimes the number is just off, okay? If the number is just off, it's off. There's nothing you can do about that. And again, you can come up with any reasons, retail reasons to back out of the deal because it's just not going to work out. But if you do this enough time, you will find very good deals and you can close deals. Just the only thing is that it will take $1,000 and your money sitting in an escrow account so you can make this type of offers, okay? And depending on what kind of state you are in, there may be a few other restrictions, but this is basically the major thing you should worry about that I've just shared with you in these 7 steps, okay? The other thing here is when you find a cash buyer that's interested in this deal, usually because the numbers is that good, you essentially, of course, you're going to have to be, again, this is why you need a relationship. You need to be able to say, hey, I need to show this house to my partner, okay? And you need to take them by the property, and the agent needs to be able to cooperate. If they cannot cooperate with you, you have a problem. This is where you need that relationship, okay? But, nobody's going to pay for a house that they want to see, right? So if they want to see, eventually, if you do enough of this, your relationships will be good enough with the cash buyers too, and they may not even want to see. The numbers are good enough. They trust you because you have a good reputation in the marketplace. But essentially, what you want is you want to collect $3,000, okay? If somebody's interested in the property, you want to collect a $3,000 deposit, non-refundable deposit, because you don't want them to waste your time. Because again, it's such a good deal. You've secured such a fantastic deal. So it'll be worth their time. They're open to, $3,000 deposit, because they're sure they're going to buy this house, and a lot of time cash, okay? They're going to pay cash for this house. But $3,000 non-refundable deposit, because if they decide that they want to back out of the house, back out of the deal, then you keep that $3,000, right? And you give $1,000 for you too. You can back out of the deal, but you can leave $1,000 for the original seller. And that's how you do it. And you still make $2,000 from that situation, okay? But this is how you work a wholesale deal from an MLS standpoint. You still have your money kind of hanging, but you can do it with a good relationship, and you're still going to close a lot of deals, which is what everybody is looking for. It's a win-win-win for everybody when it works out. If it doesn't work out, the only person that's losing out a little bit is maybe a cash buyer that didn't do their proper due diligence. And that's very rarely, okay, that will happen. Before they put $3,000 down, it must have been you negotiated such a good deal. They know the neighborhood, it makes sense, and they're willing to do that, okay? So facilitate closing using available wholesaling closing strategies recommended in your local market. Because again, this is from state to state, things can be different. So that's your responsibility to facilitate that, okay? And I want you to note that an end buyer, a cash buyer with conventional mortgage financing, will create additional restrictions, difficulties for double or simultaneous closings. So again, this is the kind of stuff you want to seek out your local investors in your local area to find out how it's done in your state. That's why you want to join your local associations, okay, to see what's going on. But really, your job is really marketing here, negotiation skills, okay, and it's a numbers game, okay? Your marketing skills in terms of building a cash buyers list, okay? You can join your local associations, but there's usually one or two in the room, okay? So it's not a lot. But if you learn how to build a list of cash buyers online, then you can absolutely build a list of cash buyers and have your own private network of people to partner with you to pick up these MLS deals, okay? And for $3,000 non-refundable deposit, and do successfully and legally, okay? So I want you to consult with your local real estate investing friendly attorney at your local REA, okay? That's the best way to do this. Consult with them and see what you can come up with, okay? But the seven steps I share with you is pretty very simple, and the most important part about it is don't waste your time, don't waste other people's time. You can do a lot of pre-screening. You can do a lot of screening, digital screening of these houses on the internet before you go waste somebody else's time. You can check comps, okay? And you can do repair estimates right from your computer. But you can actually Google some estimates from Home Depot, and you go with that number, okay? You go with that number, and everything will work out, okay? But you need a lot of confidence, and everything is at your fingertips, but you need confidence, okay? You need confidence. You need to be confident. And just realize that nobody's losing anything, okay? You're actually doing a lot of work of due diligence for your investors, and you're helping somebody get rid of a house that's in distress, okay? So you're always showing up as a problem solver. If you know that you're always showing up as a problem solver, then it's a wrap. Then you control the game, okay? And everybody becomes your BITCH in the game, and you can run the game as you want, okay? And that's what you want. You want that reputation where everybody knows you're a professional and you come to the game like a player, okay? So hopefully that was good for you. Now, the major part of everything I share with you is building your buyers list, okay? And the best way, in my opinion, to do that, second to going to join a local real estate association, which is a slow and can be a painful process, The most easiest way to do that is to learn online marketing, okay? And that's something I cover extensively in my book, Empire Lifestyle Secrets. So you can download it at myempirepro.com, okay? Or you can click on the link in the description box below. And if you like this video, share it, like it, okay? comment below if you have any questions, if you have any comment whatsoever or your questions, comment below. Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated, and I will see you on the next one, and peace.
Own a business? Do you want to build the business to massive profits? Learning how to generate online traffic of leads, followers, customers, and high-paid clients on demand? This is the number one reason why 95% of businesses fail and shut down in 5 years or less. Do you want to start a business from home, building your own very own empire? Then help other businesses get massive traffic of high-paying clients and profit six figures income or more in your first year. How? It's all in the book. Get the book, Empire Lifestyle Secrets, at www.myempirepro.com or click the link in the description to download it. It's 100% free. In addition to that, I've got a free bonus that's worth $97. It's a 7 lessons online course that I created just for you called Smart Business Empire. Access will be delivered to your email with your free book, Empire Lifestyle Secrets, www.myempirepro.com.